Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Again.
As a matter of fact, how are you today?
I am doing good. It is Friday, which for most people means a good thing. For me, it means I have to go back to work tomorrow.
TGIF.
TGIF.
Well, it is your weekend.
It is.
The last part of your weekend.
It is my download.
Do you have a whole staff there on Saturdays and Sundays?
No, we just minimal support staff.
To get
the people out with the whips and go, you need to do this.
So you work harder during the week than you do on Saturday and Sunday?
It's about the same.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I just thought I'd ask.
7 day a week torture operation.
So, anyway, Alaska Airlines is, of all things, starting service between Portland and Hawaii.
Alaska Airlines is doing Portland and Hawaii. What about Alaska?
Of course they're doing. I mean, we certainly. Well, there's no reason to go to Alaska, so.
That's why they're doing Portland.
Yeah.
It's too cold in Alaska. Let's go somewhere else.
I don't think Alaska Airlines has much to do with Alaska anymore. They've been sold too many times.
Yeah.
I don't even think they're headquarters in Alaska anymore. I think it's in Seattle. I just saw that and thought I'd mention that. It's interesting that Alaska Airlines is more interested in Hawaii than Alaska, of course.
Like why most of, in my opinion, most of North Dakota residents want to retire in Arizona. But
I don't know.
As you probably heard in the news today about that, or this week about that mysterious missile/aircraft Comtrail.
Yeah.
They're still denying that it's a missile. But one thing that I found coming out of that is that there's a really cool app if you're into airplanes. It's called Flight Aware. And what's really cool about it is that it will show you, you go pick an airport, and it will show you all the flights coming and going to that airport, where the planes are currently located, the height, you know, the altitude, the speed, their estimated time of arrival.
Really?
And it's really kind of a neat thing that cruises around. It's flightaware.com. It's a free application. And, check it out.
I would think I'd be scared to do that. I tell you what, these airports are getting so busy, I'm not going to fly. Unless I absolutely have to, I won't fly. Uh-huh. Because there's so many. When you've got flights every 30 seconds coming and going, I'm just ready for them to ram into each other.
Well, of course, as we talked about last week on the show, about the new security that the Transportation Security Administration is doing, you know, if you're feeling lonely and you want a free grope, you know, go on airplane.
And through all of that, they're finding out that or hardly even being hindered at all.
Yeah.
How many have they decided they've gotten through now? It's just amazing. I mean, at least I was going to say we've stopped it, but at least we are aware of it now.
Right.
We haven't stopped it. I don't think. I still say we're spending so much money on all these things that we're doing, that we need to just bring our troops home and cut out some of this money and just pay attention to what's happening here.
What?
Yes.
You mean change from trying to secure and save the rest of the world and actually try to save ourselves?
Amazing. It's just a thought, you know. Just
oh, God.
A little thought. Because it's just so crazy that we spend so much money everywhere else. I mean, not just just in Iraq or Afghanistan either. We're spending millions and billions of dollars in other places. Look at what we just did with Pakistan. How many billions of dollars did we commit to Pakistan? And we're not even sure that Pakistan government, we don't even know where they're putting that money.
And we're closing schools locally.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's another story entirely. We don't need to close schools locally. They're doing that to upset us, because when they close schools, we get upset because we're not teaching our students. But we aren't anyway. The school system is totally failing us.
Well, that's my personal belief. Like I say, when we talk about, you know, schools and how much money or percentage of our property tax money goes to it, I have two things to say about. First of all, audit. You want any more money out of me? I want to see an audit where all that money's going. And secondly, because they've always used schools and public safety as, you know, the public's news, because that's what affects us directly. And also, there are people who fall for that. Well, it's for the children, you know. So of course, we have to show up money. I think so.
They're using it all as a weapon, because they know that the American public gets upset when you close schools. And so they're always going to pick the things that we get upset about. They're not going to do things. Because you see, well, and there's another thing. See, one of the reasons my philosophy is never going to go anywhere is because it's actually asking everyone to make a little bit of a donation for a little bit of hardship.
Right.
I still say if you're making over $40,000 a year and they're taking 10% of that away from you, that's still $40 a month. I can't believe we could not go to two movies and be upset about it.
Yeah.
$40 a month is just not that much money. And when you figure it, 10%, that's over a year. That's $4,000 out of your $40,000. Which is less than $40 a month. So I don't know. It's never going to happen, but I'm hearing people talk about it for a change. I'm sure it wasn't me that made her think about it, but I have heard a couple of instances where I've heard about it on the news, and a couple of senators or representatives that have brought the subject up. They haven't really...
Nope, are you still there? And Cliff has gone bye-bye once again, which is kind of interesting because we could be talking for an hour before the show, no problem whatsoever, and then we go live and direct, and Cliff goes bye-bye.
Well, it's got to have something to do with the connection between us and Blog Talk, then.
No, it must be, but apparently it's only my side that drops, or your side that drops out, then. Anyway.
No, your side drops out, too, but for shorter periods of time.
Yeah, well, I have noticed it on the playback, but we'll work on that later.
Yeah. There doesn't seem to be much we can do about it, so we just kind of have to live with it. I don't know how else to do this, but basically... other than the Alaska Airlines flying to Hawaii, is there anything else that's happening?
Well, I think maybe we might want to kind of spread the word just on the off chance that we do have some live people out there, which are a lot more entertaining than the dead ones, of how either of them will get a hold of us if they wish to at this particular time. And do you want to explain how to do that?
Okay. I was gone, I guess. Or you were gone or something. So what was the question? What do I want to explain?
How they can reach us.
646-721-9887 is an easy number to remember. And it will get right directly to us. And when you dial in, you can sit there and listen to us on the radio if you wish, through the phone. Or you can dial push a 1 at any time that you're ready to, and we'll acknowledge you and put you on the radio.
Exactly. And if you want to, we also have a chat room open. www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN is our website. You can send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com. And for my sweat and frustration and the fact I still hate it, we are now on Facebook.
I thought you were going to ask for
ask for what?
A donation.
Well, after what I wanted to do. I don't care. I think Facebook got started just by sheer luck and pressure of people, because I'll tell you, the only way I got things to work on that was to do, not through their help files, but to search Google and find people that had 30 third-party apps just to get the stupid thing to update the page.
Yeah.
And so reward me by at least checking it out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, you know, I don't know, Twitter and Google, what I want to know is how that benefits us. I haven't figured that out yet. It's neat to have all that stuff there, but I don't know. At least you even found an app, I guess, that puts it on there automatically, right?
Yeah, we do have a Twitter page, Twitter.com/KRBN Radio. And, okay, we're old-fashioned. Granted, there wasn't a 9-year-old around to help me put this together. So go ahead and, you know, public, please show us that the effort was worth it, and we should keep doing it. Actually, we probably will, but...
Well, even more to the point, if you have any ideas of how to do it better or again, or different, email us. So, and email us at talk@krbn.com. Don't email us on Twitter or on Facebook, because we'll probably never figure out how to get it. Unfortunately. So,
that's right.
But email us and give us any ideas, because we're lost in here. This is all new to us. It's all new to me, anyway. I haven't figured it out. I've got a Facebook account that I've had for a while, but I don't know how to work it. What I've learned how to do is when somebody calls me or emails me or whatever they do on Facebook, and I get an email that says they want to decide whether or not to say yes. Yeah. And so on a few of them I've said yes, on most of them I say no, because I don't know who they are. And I only say yes to the ones that I know. And I have actually answered, I don't know if they're emails or whatever they are that they put on, I guess they consider it the wall.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a couple of people, and that's about it. I haven't done much there at all.
Well, and
I'm
sorry to interrupt, but I also would be very curious on your friends. You might be interested in this friend, because Cliff and I have two different personal accounts, and they're not related in any way that I can figure out, but both of us, there's a Sasha Culpepper that wants to be our friend. No idea, and wondering how many other accounts she's showing up on.
I think she's showing up everywhere, to be honest with you. She just—that's one of the things that seems to be what people want to do, is have the most friends they can have on Facebook or on Twitter, and that seems to be their whole object in life, is to have more people saying hi, we're a friend, or following you, or whatever they do. And I want to talk to you on the phone. 646-7-
21980. Please be my friend.
And I'd much rather talk to you on the phone. I'm not too interested in whether you're my friend on Facebook or Twitter or not. Anyway,
other things happening. I got a what the heck. Shall we go into that?
Okay, sure.
Okay.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
it's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, this is a little bit of international news, but according to the AFP News Service, 6 days ago, Costa Rica stepped up pressure on international mediators to engage in its territory dispute in Nicaragua after an incursion onto the Costa Rican territory on Saturday. The incident was caused by former Sandinista commander Eden Pastora, who heads Nicaragua's controversial project to dread the San Juan River, which divides the two countries, and used a navigational map, which the commander found out after the fact was flawed with an error of up to 2.7 kilometers or 1.6 miles. Okay, now what makes this story really interesting is that, as you know, the military in most countries have the most sophisticated hardware and information available to them. I mean, like the U.S., we can send a missile down somebody's chimney and probably have it make coffee once a week. Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Well, what makes this story kind of interesting, and which gives it the What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, is that the tool that the commander used to send his troops in for the dredging was Google Maps.
Well, I can believe that, because why is Google the only one doing any of these things? Well, actually, it's not true. Microsoft is too, but they're so behind that Google gets all the credit for it.
Yeah, well, I'd just like to have kind of been the fly in the wall, as they say, that, Commander, why did you do this? Well, I was following the map here. You know, we went to Google. Of course, as they say in the article, that obviously this did not help the 200-year-old border dispute, which was reignited in mid-October to Nicaragua, when Nicaragua started dredging the San Juan to restore its route to what it was a century and a half ago, according to the news reports. But
I suppose the river is the border.
Yeah, and Google says that they were unaware of the error, but they are working on a correction.
Acknowledge the error?
Yeah, they did acknowledge the error, but I don't think that when Google put the map together that they would have thought that some military personnel would actually use it when planning an offense.
Well, it's kind of interesting that all of a sudden Google is now starting and stopping wars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've become a lot more. It's just amazing what Google is nowadays as opposed to what it was originally intended to be, just a little search engine.
Well, based on my recent personal experience applying for a job at Google, they kind of came down one notch about how I feel about them. But
okay, I didn't get that yet.
Okay, based on my recent experience with Google, as I was applying for work with them and going through the interview process, they kind of, in my eyes, dropped down about a notch based on the little trick that they played on me.
What was that?
I applied for one position, and after two interviews, they changed the position and made it so it wasn't even worth driving.
Oh, that's right. You were applying to Google.
Exactly. And I had two job interviews with them. And they wanted me to come up for an on-site interview. And the job itself was a temporary to hire position. But because of company needs, they decided to change it to a temporary only, where you had no opportunity of getting hired on, which is understandable. I mean, that happens. But please tell your interviewee that that's what you did.
I can't believe that if you got to work for them and you were an outstanding employee, that they wouldn't consider you for another position. But then you never know. These big corporations just do things differently.
Yeah.
I've never worked for a giant corporation.
Well, they have their pluses and their negatives. They're just more sensitive about things than the smaller ones are.
I'll tell you one thing I was kind of interested in. we're having problems and people don't have jobs and our economy is falling on its face. And yet Intel just announced that it has had its best year ever, ever, an 18% share dividend for this year. That's interesting that Intel is the big company.
Yeah. Well, they're a global company. In fact, years back, I remember that was Beaverton that they're located in, I believe. They passed an ordinance to fine Intel. I think it was $1,000 per employee, if memory serves me correctly, because they were hiring too many people.
What?
Yeah.
Hiring too many people?
Hiring too many people, and so they were going to fine Intel if they went over a certain limit. I don't know if they're still doing that now or not, but yeah, I couldn't believe it when I read the article. I was like, what?
That's
how many people they want to hire? If they feel the need, you know?
How to drive away jobs and wanting to look.
Oh, I tell you, Oregon, which based on the last election, is just, I feel very sad for my state.
Well, you know, you say that, and I haven't had a chance to look up and find out what's going on, but what is Kitzhaber doing? Anything? You know, have you paid any attention or looked into it?
I will give him credit. He actually has a YouTube site, and he has a website, and he's asking for people to share their ideas, you know, given a form that they get input from the people. Hopefully he actually reads it. And he's also, if you want to get on his new cabinet, there's even an application you can fill out on that website.
Is it a paying position?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't say.
Cabinets quite often are not. You're just they take your – they listen to you, but they don't pay you for the information. So basically, I do know – on, as you say, getting information, how do we get jobs, how do we create more jobs, how do we adjust the economy. He is trying to get information because he can't do it all on his own.
No, but in this day and age, and I even sent him a letter. I haven't got an acknowledgement back from it yet. With the media that's out there, in fact, one of the medias I suggested was using a Blog Talk Radio type format, because that way he can bypass the Lars Larson shows. Excuse me, folks. You know, he can go directly to the people and control his own show and have a two-way conversation with just the average person. And that way he doesn't get information that's filtered to him, and we're not getting information that's filtered through the media. You know, and we can bring Oregon back if the government and people will work together to do it, but this one-sided thing just isn't working.
Well, of course, I can see his point to a certain extent. You can't get nearly as much information on one-to-one as you can on emails or Twitter or one of those where thousands of people can get on at the same time, and he can read all of them.
Exactly. And one thing, and speaking of that, too, while I was reading some of the postings on his YouTube site, and, folks, this is one of my pet peeves, you know, especially when you're talking or writing a letter to somebody that's important, like the new governor. Comments like, I wish you would spontaneously explode or combust is, not only does it make you look stupid, but it's a waste of his time and our time to read it.
That's true. But you can't get people to stop. There are people who are so convinced that they have something to say, even though it's that stupid, that they've got to say it.
Yeah.
And that's why the business with the emails or the Twitter or the Facebook, they can say it. And people can just zip through it and don't have to read it. And that's easier than, again, if you go on with the radio show, you do have to have somebody screening calls.
Right.
Because some...
Well, and Blog Talk does offer that capability, too. That of having,
yeah.
What do they call that in radio? Your producer?
Yeah.
To go ahead and screen the calls and queue them up for you. But like I'm saying, it could be a format. You know, one of the biggest complaints that officials have, including Kulongoski, who never wanted to come on any radio program and back up his thoughts, is they don't like getting torn down by the radio host. Well, this way he could be the host and just take an hour a month or 2 hours a month or whatever and just have a two-way forum.
Yeah. It's. I think. What do they call them? The hometown
fireside chats. Type.
I don't know if Kitzhaber does that or not. I know some of the county commissioners and people like that do that, where they actually go out to different buildings and have. In different communities, they have these hometown meetings, and I've been to a few of those, and they're interesting, and you get a lot more information that way. But it's just only a few people go to it in the first place, and whether a lot of people would listen to his radio show or not, but there would at least be enough of them that would get more information out of it. Thing is, how many people would be not from Oregon? Since it's a worldwide show.
Well, good question. Definitely a good question.
I definitely like to hear what the people of Oregon have to say with Kitzhaber. Who else? It's interesting that our Wyden and Prochazka and most of these people were reelected. So obviously the people of Oregon think that their representatives are doing a job.
Uh-huh.
And because I was all ready to just sit down and oust everybody, and then I sat down and looked at them and made a real honest to God decision on information rather than on what my heart says.
Right.
And I voted for them all. I voted them all back in. You had no choice but. But vote Kulongoski out. He didn't have to vote him out. He wasn't running.
Right. Well, hopefully this election nationwide sent a message that, the people are upset. They're angry. They're tired of the direction the government's going. They're tired of being ignored by the government, and they're tired that, I was trying to remember, I saw it in the news today that, I can't remember what Oregon City is going to raise the cell phone tax because since more people are going to cell phones, they're getting less 911 income off the landline phones. You know, they're tired. We're struggling, barely making ends meet, and our taxes keep going up and keep going up, keep going up, and we don't have it.
Sooner the government, state, city, national, is going to have to realize that they've got to cut spending, not raise taxes.
Right.
They've got to cut spending because there's so many different ways to raise taxes and do that sort of thing. And cutting spending doesn't mean you close schools. That is not the way to cut spending. I know it's unbelievably tough to get people to give up their salary, but we're going to have to do it. And we're going towards a better direction very fast.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, very fast.
You got to do something. And like I say, I mean, just like what's going on in Eugene, for example, the EMX bus service, which I still think it's the biggest boondoggle that Eugene's doing. For those that don't live in the area, this is a one of the accordion buses. They run about $900,000 a piece, and it has some special features on it. It's a hybrid bus. When it gets into these special narrow lanes, it'll drive itself through. But what they're doing is that they're all these special lanes that they're doing, like, for example, from downtown Eugene to downtown Springfield, which I think is 15 miles roughly, is like $29 million, and all it does is shave 5 minutes off your travel time. And they're expanding this all throughout Eugene, Springfield, and they're wanting to expand it down West 11th, and the people on the west end of Eugene are fighting it tooth and nail because it takes up real estate both in the road and on their property versus having just a bus that just goes down the road along with regular traffic and functions the way it does now. But this project for these buses is costing millions and millions of dollars, over $100 million for this project. LTD, which is our local bus service, is claiming that their revenues are down, they're cutting back on services, they're laying off people, but yet they're still spending millions of our tax dollars for this project. And that's just a small example about when times are tough, there's some feel-good things that just have got to be set aside. I mean, like a couple $100,000 for a statue nobody can make heads or tails out of. Okay, it's great, it's pretty, but how about a statue that serves a function?
Of course, when a statue, how long ago was that actually commissioned, and is it just not being done? I don't know.
Well, things can be updated, changed. You got priorities.
But it could have been commissioned 3 or 4 years ago before we were having problems and already paid for and everything else. So I don't know. What justification the Lane Transit has for some of the things that they're doing, because there must be a long-term futuristic goal that they're into, and it'd be interesting to see if it's going to save money in the long run or if it's just to get money now.
Uh-huh.
And $900,000 is a little bit excessive for a bus, but it's not that much, to be honest with you.
Well, when you can buy the regular accordion buses for about one-third of that, you get 3 buses for the price of 1.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't know that the automatic buses are used that much. I mean, if you've got to have a driver there for part of it, why can't he just do it all?
Well, because this is the thing that's kind of silly. Okay, I can see, especially like on Franklin Boulevard, which is a four-lane road, okay, they created 2 extra lanes for these buses, but they designed it like the old driveways where they didn't pave the whole thing, they just paved where the tires were.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's how the lanes go, and they're very narrow, and they're also curvy. So if you just had a curved road, a regular road that the buses can pull off onto, you don't need the special buses to navigate that. But no, they decide to have these, you know, cement paths for them to go on, and which, unless every bus driver is really skilled on that bus, it's going to take a little difficult to stay right in the center of that path, and that's why they have the automatic driving. It's guide-by-wire situation that they have.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I agree with you. It doesn't sound like it makes sense right now, but again, I'd like to hear their reasoning behind it, because sometimes they have some logic there and sometimes they don't. But of course, the problem is now it's a little late because it's already done.
Well, that's why in West Eugene, they're fighting it before they even break ground. And I'm fully with them on that one, because they are afraid because of taking up real estate and having to go in between the buses, and that they're going to lose business. I mean, but even more so, there's not much real estate between the curb and the front of the businesses out there, and taking up any more is just going to, you know, cut off quite a bit of their storefront, and there's no other to expand.
Yeah. Now, when it starts doing that, I agree with you. There needs to be a different way to make it be done, because we always beat up on the businesses. We never beat up on LTB. So they need to find a different way to get around that. We don't need to be taking away people's businesses, or scuttling people's businesses when it's, our economy is so edgy anyway.
Exactly.
We need to do everything we can to keep those businesses going and making money.
Well, and Eugene is not exactly known as the most business-friendly city in Oregon anyways.
Obviously, it's becoming apparent. So we need to do something. Because everybody's talking about getting jobs, keeping jobs, building business, and here we are running them out of town.
Yeah, exactly. I hear that a lot during the elections. Jobs, we got to create jobs, and my 35-point plan to do it. Well, assuming those that even actually come up with a number, but most of them don't say how. Why am I going to raise money for this? Okay, how are you going to do it?
Well, that's why I was wondering what Kitzhaber was doing, because he didn't. He's never, to this point, given specifics on what he's going to do all of this, just that he's going to. But I'm rather happy that he's actually going to the public and asking their opinion.
Yeah, that does make me happy, too. And now, like I will, I mean, to be honest, I didn't want either one of them. Kitzhaber was a two-term Oregon governor before Kulongoski, or Ted Taxson Gals Me, as we call him. Our sleepy Ted, who is now panicking. And this is what always gets me, is that when their term is almost over, they come out with a press release saying, well, you know, my advice for the next governor to get Oregon going again is to do this, this, and this. All right, well, if you knew that, why didn't you do this?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Why didn't you come out and talk to the people? You know, Lars has tried to get him on the show ever since he was governor, and he just refused to do it. But he comes up with these crazy little programs, and you know, keeps wanting to raise taxes and has his head in the sand. But one thing that Kitzhaber did do for me back when I owned my own business is, and I hope that he does the same this time, is I used to own a VCR repair shop in Springfield. And to be a technician, to do that, you had to be licensed with the state of Oregon. To get that license, you had to have a TV repair license. And to repair VCRs, you had to have an endorsement, like a motorcycle endorsement, to a television license. To get that license, you have to have either 1 year of experience, 2 years schooling, or 2 years of experience and 1 year schooling. So it's one of those that unless you happen to know somebody, you're not going to get into the field. Well, I lucked out. I knew somebody that was willing to give me the opportunity to work for them, and I got my license. But as my company was expanding, because I was doing pretty good numbers back then, I needed to hire another technician. The problem was, by law, they had to have a license. That was almost impossible to get. So what Kulongoski did is he got rid of that licensing requirement and said, we're going to leave it up to the public. In other words, the licensing program was put in there to protect the general public. But if you don't do good work, you're not going to stay in business.
No.
And so that's what he's leaving it up to.
Yeah, it would be nice because that was what our whole system is based on, is competition. And if you can't,
if you can do it. But see, here's the other catch-22, that towards the last year and a half before they changed the law, the inspector that came around and inspected our shops, he was a part-time inspector. He was a full-time professor out of Beaverton. And we could count on any time that there was a long holiday, like Thanksgiving or Christmas, that he would poke his head in. And every time he would come in, he would give me a list of equipment I needed to buy. Granted, I've been in business. I had the business for 8 years, never had one complaint filed against me. But every time he would come in, he'd say, well, you need to buy this equipment, you need to buy that equipment, which had nothing to do with what my business was.
Yeah.
But he was requiring me to invest, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 in equipment that I would never use. And at one time, I remember, and this was during Christmas, which was my busiest time of year, he decided to come in on one of his little inspections and came in the back room. You know, I am buried with work. And he's criticizing me and asking me questions, you know, like I'm taking my license over again, making me take a VCR, hook it up to the scope, show him different waveforms, you know, and just basically give me a third degree that I was about ready to quite literally call the police and have him kicked out.
Yeah.
I did call his boss afterwards and complained and told him if he kept doing that, I was going to have him removed. And they said, of course, I can't do that. And I said, watch me.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, that's one of the other things that really upsets me is our government passing legislation or passing bills or whatever to require businesses to purchase or to license things that they aren't necessary. I, for example, I always use the driver's license tests. In school, you take a test on your driver's training program, and you have to pass in order to get your license, but you still have to go in and pay to take the test at the DMV.
Right.
So you have to pay both of them now. It used to be you could just go in and pass the test at the DMV, and if you could pass that test, you got the license. But not anymore. You got to have both of them.
Oh, I got a quick story for you now. But let me make one other point, though, on this licensing deal. When I called and complained about the inspector, and about the equipment requirement that he kept adding on, they told me that he can do and require anything that he wanted to do. It's pretty much
mm-hmm.
a and that's wrong. But what I was going to add on your DMV example is that I have a commercial driver's license, and I have hazmat on my driver's license. And this is an example of privatizing the government. There are two places in Oregon that I'm aware of that you can go and get your – you have to have a background check done for your hazmat because it's a federal license. And you can either go to Portland or you can go to Roseburg. Now, both places are not government buildings. They're not government agencies. So I opted to go to one in Roseburg, which turned out to be a little computer repair shop. And in his back room, he's got the equipment to take the fingerprints and everything. And the funny backstory on that is while he was fingerprinting me, a customer came in. And he's looking at the computers that they have on display in the shop. And then he's looking at what this guy is doing with me. And I kind of looked at him and I said, yeah, I just wanted to cash a check. Which, of course, didn't make the guy very happy. I was telling his customers this. But, you know, I'm giving all this personal background information to some guy in a rundown computer shop.
You should have told the customer that came in that you were just here to buy a computer.
Well, in a sense, I did by saying I just wanted to cash a check.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's I don't know. Are they saving money by renting inexpensive places, or are they just, I don't know. Are they doing it because they're a friend of whoever, the governor or somebody like that?
I don't know. But again, you know, especially for a background check, you're giving them a lot of personal information.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're entrusting the fact that, you know, that information is going to be secured.
Nowadays,
nowadays you never know.
People hack into computers, or somebody takes a computer, a laptop, and they've got all the information on it, and they stick it in their car, and
yeah.
Somebody steals it. I mean, it's just people are not using due process to watch out what's going on.
Or securing or encrypting information. Anyways, 15 minutes left in the show, 646-721-9887. We had one person temporarily in the chat room, and again,
I've got a couple of statistics here I want to give you.
Okay.
This comes from illegalimmigrationstatistics.org. Less than 2% of all illegal immigrants in the United States are working in the fields or on crops. 41% of them are on welfare.
Huh.
Over 43% of all issued food stamps go to illegal immigrants. Over 41% of all U.S. unemployment checks go to illegal immigrants. Nearly a third of all the federal and state prisons are full of illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
Costing the taxpayers, by the way, over $1.6 billion annually. And 58% of all U.S. welfare payments.
You went away again. Cliff. Well, anyways, he was there. I'm sure he'll come back at some point. But, what Cliff is making is an interesting statistic that illegal immigrants, they say they don't take money, but they do. And let's see if I can get Cliff back on the line here again. As we are waiting, as Cliff is trying to connect. And hopefully he will come in.
Am I back?
You are back again. You went bye-bye.
I don't understand that. It's for me to talk. It waits for me to talk.
I don't know. It just drops right out. Are you still with me?
Yeah. I've got to do something about that, too. I'm here.
You are here.
I'm here. Okay, good. Yeah, this is not a good day, obviously, for Internet. Of course, and the weather has something to do with it, too, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you're wireless with a CG.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have Comcast here.
No, and
hello.
It would be nice.
It would be nice to have something, yeah. This, so far, is the CG Wi-Fi is the best Internet connection that I've had so far, and it's anything but great.
Yeah. Well, 13 minutes left in the show, 646-721-9887. You want to go punk another show?
Anyway.
All right, I'll leave you.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you were talking about it. You have to call him, I guess, and we can get on there and see what's going on.
Let's see what happens here.
This is, what state is this?
This is in Washington State.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
What we're doing, folks, is we're...
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time. And we are now in the host queue.
This is Nick and Lynn's corner. We've been on the show before. And we decided we'd give them a call and give them a hard time for today. They're not aware that we're calling them.
I got you. Appreciate it. Who we got there?
Nick, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, this is Robin and Cliff from KRBN Internet News Talk.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. You're live on our show as well, by the way.
I am. That's nice. So what do you think of my show so far? Am I hitting the mark or not?
Well, we're just now tuning in, but we thought we'd give you a call and say hi. We're kind of interested in your topic, which, according to your description, was Bush taxes, the tax. And it's kind of slow news day anyway, but we just saw you on call and give your show a quick shout-out.
Hey, let me ask you a question while I got you on the line here.
Okay.
And pay us the end if I'm back, maybe you'll also quote. You know, when you're talking about these taxes, you know, we come up with a lot of solutions to the problem. We probably come up with different solutions than the Democrats and Republicans come up with, as well as your station does also. My concern is, though, why is it the first thing if you're cutting the retirement or setting the age back? And, I mean, when they say that, they don't just say retirement. Well, when they're talking about retirement, they're talking about the seniors. But nobody realizes the seniors are only 10 to 20% that are on Social Security disability. And
well,
that's what you're talking about, the other 80%.
I think it's...
Yeah, not even that.
Well, if... Okay. Yeah. Retirement, just like cutting the budget for schools, like what we were talking about in our show, schools and local services, that's what hits the public the most directly.
Right.
So
right.
If you're concerned about if they're going to put a 50% cut on widgets, you don't care. Go ahead, cut widgets. I don't care what that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when they say we're going to cut Social Security or we're going to raise the age of Social Security, that affects you directly. And so they can use that as a leverage.
Exactly. But yet, you know, we don't look at the real aspects of where they really should be. I mean, we have enough missiles and bombs to blow it 5 times. So why not look at budget cutting in that area? I mean, however, there was, I did see an article somewhere in here, and I didn't put it in one of my files where they were talking about, you know, cutting back on some of the jets they had also been going to buy there because they had some problems there with them. But, I mean, you know, we don't look at these things. And you hear maybe just a smidgen of it, but not the whole story.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't hear actually how much money they'll save because they don't push that issue. When it comes to military, they don't push that issue. You know, I cannot understand why we have 153 or 58 different countries where our military is at, which really they don't need to be over there. Some of these countries are so small, I've never even heard of them. You know, and once again, like I said before, you know, we spend billions and billions to help and rebuild other countries. They really don't take 10% off our own.
Well, even more to the point, our president just went to Pakistan.
Yes.
Our president just went to Pakistan. He offered them several billion dollars in aid, and we don't even know where that's being spent. We don't know if their government is legitimate and if it's spending for the people or if it's just putting it in one of their pockets. And still, we offer them this huge amount of money.
You're exactly right. A good example of that, too, is over there in Haiti, where they had the earthquake. That money and that was sent over there was for the people and the rebuild. It went into the military. It didn't go to the people. It went into the military. They were selling the food that they were getting in there to put money in their own pockets. So that goes back to what you were saying. You know, in Afghanistan, Obama brought up a good point. We are paying our military men and women there to watch those poppy fields. What the hell is that temperature?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's totally ridiculous. Anyway, guys, I got to let you go. I got about 3 minutes left here.
All right. Well, good to talk to you again, and hope you have a good day and things are going good.
Hey, I'm glad your Goombay there is feeling better. I remember when we did our special there, he was in the hospital there or something, if I remember right, or he was real under the weather there. I'm glad he's doing better there, though. All right, guys, you guys have a great day there. And that was KSPN. And they're also on Blog Talk Radio. I believe they're on the news end of it on Blog Talk Radio there. And you can always pick them up there. And they do an awesome job as well. They do an awesome show there. And once again, I want to thank everybody in our chat in there. And I did put the link in there for this article if you want to continue reading this article. And I don't know what happened to my chat room. My chat room is kaboom on me here. So I apologize for that because I like to keep my chat room every now and then. And who's in there and see where they're going and what they're talking about there. I want to thank Alpha again for coming in and chatting there. Yes, BLV. I'm sorry, I apologize for that, for coming in and chatting there. Donna from Powered Woman. Always nice to see Donna and chatting there. Ghost Fighters Radio, all these have Block Talk radio stations out there. Apple has one out there as well. Tech Politics, a political conservative there. Donna does a spiritual. She also does political insights there, one time the spiritual and the other one on politics. You never know where Donna's going to go, so you have to check on the homepage there. Ghost Fighters Radio also has a Block Talk Radio show. You need to really check that guy's website out. It's awesome. It is really awesome. Tim Pendergrin, always nice to see them in the chat room there. They're awesome. Off-Grid 7, that's my bud. He doesn't have a show, folks. We keep on trying to talk him into having one, though. He probably needs to have one back east there. Probably something going on back east there. But once again, I want to remind everybody, please. We have over 7,000.
Let me down.
Yep, I'm here. We should probably say goodbye.
I think I have no control over this. I got in Windows there, so I'll have to hang him up.
Oh, yeah. You can't turn him off? We're new to all this, folks. We haven't ever done this before, I don't think.
Well, Skype encountered a problem and needs to close. And once I get the close button, I'm going to lose the connection. So you'll have to go ahead and hang him up on your end.
Oh? What's that? Let's see. He's the...
And I think Lynn talked a little bit about that last night. Let me remind everybody, Lynn does YouTube. She will be on at 5 tonight. She did her show yesterday. We were running late. We had some problems with her mic.
Okay.
There you go.
How about that?
That's yeah, that's Windows for you. It's just...
Well, we are having a problem with Skype, obviously, because I only hear about half of what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, and like I say, as soon as I get the don't...
I'm here.
Or it's in the report button, it's going to disconnect, and who knows why it decided to close. But anyways, we've got 4 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. I still have an active control over the board. You still got time to get an email in. Give us a call, 646-721-9887. Again, let me put out a reminder that we do have our Facebook connection, and you can go on our main KRBN page and... just click on follow on our visit on Facebook or whatever this link is or something similar to our follow on Twitter. I'm trying to set up so you can go to a direct link to it. There is an application that does do that, but it makes you look at their little stupid thing first. So I'm trying to get around that. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on our, we have a our own webpage, KRBNradio.com, and of course right here on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. So we got so many ways you can get a hold of us. Take advantage of.
By the way, on KRBN.com, you can also, we also have the widget up there so that you can listen to us live or listen to the archives and get all the information that way as well. And you can email us. So everything can be done almost everywhere. It makes it easy.
Exactly. And we know you're out there. The numbers are showing that you're listening to us, which we, by the way, do greatly appreciate. But we would also love to have some feedback. Is this time slot working for you? Would you like, is there another time that we can better accommodate so you can call in? I know that during the weekdays, during the business time, it's kind of hard.
But email us and let us know. I get the impression that most of the people that are listening to us are listening to the archives because then you can listen at any time. But if there's a better way to do this, let us know.
Yeah. We're here not only just for us to have fun, but to have your input as well. And same thing if you have – if there's something in the news that you hear or, you know, and it just makes smoke come out of your ear, send us an email and we'll just – you know, we'll look at it and discuss the topic possibly on our next show, and or read your email on the show if you don't want to come on. That's fine. We'll withhold your name if you'd like. And
maybe next week we can talk about the new pictures on Flickr.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. A quick recap on that is that the Federal Drug Administration is wanting to put graphic pictures of dead bodies, diseased lungs, and people with cancer to try and discourage you from smoking.
And they think that's going to cut down smoking a significant amount. I don't know that I do. I don't think anybody's going to pay much attention to it.
I don't think it will. I mean, it might affect a few people, but then...
It's going to affect some, but only to make them mad.
Yeah, but it's an addiction. And then they'll complain that they have lack of revenue, raise the prices up on cigarettes again to... And then people will be busting in businesses to go get money for cigarettes.
Yeah.
So who knows?
They can raise the taxes on cigarettes. I don't care.
I
don't smoke.
The only time I smoke is when I'm on fire. But anyway, we'll be back again next Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, and hopefully the technical god will go a lot better on us.
Really?
Nothing else. You know, we had a good time, and we hope that you'll join us again next Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific. Until then,
bye-bye.
check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.